Welcome to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast, where we discuss various dog training topics to help you become the best leader for your dog. Marvin Pierce has over 20 years of experience with obedience training for dogs located in the Sherwood, Oregon area. Offering private lessons and group clinics, the dog teacher has been able to change the lives of dog owners by helping them develop and maintain an obedient dog. For more information, contact us at marvinpiercedogteacher.com.
Raining. We can't decide what it was this morning, but I think our topic should be, should your dog be in a crate? And when should it be in a crate, if it should be? Okay. That's a pretty tough topic for this early morning when your coffee's not made right. Mine's good. I made mine myself. It cost like 5 cents or something. Maybe a quarter.
Can I chime in? Are you asking? Can I chime in? Can I interact with you a little bit? Or you
are for sure, Brett.
My initial thought is every dog should be in a crate, right?
Well, they should be crate trained. Okay. Yes.
So I'm wrestling with your question that you asked.
I think all dogs should be crate trained. And for me, the main reason is leaving them at home when you're going somewhere and them being safe and not eating stuff. You know, there's so many dogs that eat socks, you know, clothes, I mean, couch cushions. There's so many things. But if you train if you get a puppy and you do like Bianca does with the puppies that we get here, and you crate train them off the start with, and I know this is a subject kind of for you with your puppy podcast, but if you start out with a puppy with training them to be crated, and I think the key to training them to be crated sometimes is adequate exercise, am I right? Mm-hmm. If you can exercise your puppies so they can go in a crate and be comfortable in there, and you can take them and you can haul them in your car, you know. I've seen you haul your dogs in your car camping here a while back. You had like 20 dogs in there, it seems like, but probably only three or four.
Four.
Yeah. But you had them in crates, you know, and you had stuff stacked on them around them. And, I mean, it gave you a lot more room, and your dog was perfectly content being there because they were like, man, this is a cool-ass den I got them. I'm in my cave and I'm comfortable here. And they're comfortable there because you created it.
Yeah, there's no negative. My dogs don't look at me like, oh, I'm like, yeah. Going to crate. They're like, okay.
They go in crate because there's something cool going to happen. They get a rest. They don't have to follow you around the house. They don't have to keep up with you. They don't have to pace in your car and watch for everything goes by to attack the window or whatever, you know. It's just a nice, relaxing time for them. And I think at home, people are more likely to put their dog in a crate because their dog ate a sock or chewed up a couch, you know, and they didn't train them to be in a crate. So that's not a good experience in a crate. And I watched a video of a cowboy buddy of mine here a while back, and he had real high drive cow dog pups, and I think they were Kelpies. First thing he was talking about with him is he teaches them to go in a crate. He just chunks a treat in there, you know, and lets them go in there and eat the treat, and then they come out, and he'll pet them and walk off with them. And he'll do kind of like we do with the platforms. He'll let them jump all over the bench thing that he has. They'll get up and walk the bench, and he'll go back and let them go back in the crate. It's just kind of everything's a good experience for them instead of slam them in the crate and lock the door and take off. I feel that's the – I don't think people have the right formula to crate train a dog is why – one of the reasons the crates are such a negative thing, two dogs and people, you know. We get dogs here all the time that we can't even get them in a crate. I mean, they'll just like lock up all 4 feet straight out in the air and push them back on you and knocking the crate over and whatever, you know, to get away from that crate. But it's either, you know, normally one of two things. They've been crated not correctly or they've never been in a crate. they just see it as a dark hole and they don't want to go in there. And for me, we've got this, I don't think there's such thing as a cheap crate anymore, but we've got this crate that comes from Walmart or whatever, that plastic and has the front door and the side door. And here a while back, we had a dog out and it was just having a hard time going in a crate. So I opened the side door too, and I just let it go in and caught it right out the side door and made it fun for it and turned on it. Shit, it wasn't 30 minutes that I could get it to go in the crate and lay down. Mm-hmm. But the set, the down, the recall had kind of been done with the dog, so it already, I think, had confidence in me as a leader. And so I just added more things for it to do to that. It's just, like I said, it's so devastating to the humans to think about crating your dog. Even if your dog gets hurt, you know, and you need to take it to the vet. For me, a crate's a lot safer place to put it, you know, put your towel in there or whatever. Put your dog in there and take him to the vet and get him out.
I watched a video the other day of this lady who has like a wolf hybrid, so it's a huge dog, and she teaches them to be comfortable in the smaller crate that they can fit in so that they're comfortable if they have to go to the vet.
For sure.
Because they're not going to have their big condo crate. So she even goes the extra mile to have a smaller crate and get them comfortable. She said she does it like while she's cooking dinner or something. She just gets them over there. She feeds them in there too. Gets them comfortable in the small space where they can't, you know, hop and bounce around, so that if they go to a bed or have to travel, that they're comfortable in that smaller space too. It's not like she crates them in there and they live in there.
Right.
But she has them comfortable with
it. Well, even with Akko, the owner talked about, she had this big old huge condo crate.
Yeah.
And a smaller crate, and Akko liked the smaller crate.
Yeah, because he's more secure.
Yeah, they're just going there.
Curled up in their bed. Yeah.
It's kind of sometimes like that thunder blanket they put on them, you know, to make them more comfortable.
Yeah.
Comfortabler. Crates sometimes are the same way. And for me, it's just, I kind of go with the crate, the muzzle, you know. If you muzzle train your dogs, it really will pay off in dividends later in life if your dog gets hurt or something, or if you have to take to the vet. Most people only put a muzzle on when they take a dog to the vet.
Right.
And
those are two items that you may not think you need, but is a really good tool to have your dog comfortable with.
It is. With both, with the crate and the muzzle. If you can put your dog on, and Moriah that works here and trains with us, she's got Ryder, and he'll wear a muzzle anytime, anywhere, for any reason or no reason, and don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just goes with the flow. And now Mickey, who works here with, can't remember her name.
Blue.
No, not Mickey, I'm sorry, Mia.
Primo.
Her German Shepherd. He used to bite people a little bit whenever we met her. And, well, not when we met her, but when she came down board training with us. And so now we talk about it, you know, because she gets in situations where she don't feel as comfortable with him, you know. And I said, well, just teach him to wear a muzzle and make it life easier on both of you. And so she got with Moriah and got her a muzzle. And then she came in with him wearing a muzzle the other day. For no reason, he just came in with a muzzle. She wanted to put him in a crate and she took the muzzle off of him and put him in a crate, you know. But both of those, like you said, they go hand in hand, you know. Especially if you get your dog hurt, you know, for whatever reason, they break a leg or something, you got to take them to the vet, or if they get in a dog fight and their motor's going 90 miles an hour, you know, and you need to take them to the vet, or even take them home from the dog park, you know. If they're muddy, you know, if they're wet, whatever reason, then you can put your dog in your crate in the back of your car, you know, and take him home and get him out and clean him up or whatever. Whether he's been in a dog fight or got hurt or whether he's just been out romping it, like here, when people come here and do set your dogs free in weather like this, which they do all the time, man, it's a lot easier to put your dog in that crate and go home and get your dog out and give him a bath and wipe the inside of the crate out and go on with life. But it's not easy to do that if your dog isn't crate trained, you know. Then you feel guilty. Most people do about trying to stuff their dog in that crate that doesn't want to go in it, which you kind of should. But, you know, you should have kind of done your homework to get him to do it. And we run into the same things here with even getting dogs in kennels, you know. Just We just brought a dog home from shelter the other day, but man, he just was like, he's like, I ain't going in that kennel. And it was a big kennel. It wasn't like he's going in a little crate. But now he'll just walk in. He walked in for you last night. You got him out of the outside kennel and took him in, or crate, or kennel, and took him inside and put him in his kennel. And he just walked in and you took the leash off. But, you know, for me, it's just one of those things I think that all dogs should learn to be crated and muzzled in case you need to take him to the vet. For me, we got to keep our vets safe too, because there's not a whole lot of them around. You know, it's like we got to try to protect them. And I would rather a dog go in with a muzzle on that wasn't really going to bite him than a dog go in without a muzzle that, well, he might get upset there, you know. So
I would rather have the option to put the muzzle on if needed.
Yeah, yeah, anytime for any reason, you know, even if you got company over that. You know your dog hates that person. If for me, if my dog hated that person and I couldn't get it under control, then that's when I would have my dog in his crate that he used to. You know, I would just crate him if I got somebody that comes over and once a year or whatever. And ideally, I would board him here, but if I had to keep him at home, or if I want to keep him at home, then I would make sure I could crate him. And I would crate him in a safe spot where somebody ain't going to open the door and be like, oh, I know he likes me, and he comes out there and bites somebody. So, what do you want to add to the crating, Bianca?
You know, what I think about most of the people who struggle with the crate is not very nice. I think...
I feel they don't understand it.
Okay.
Or do you not agree?
No.
Oh, go ahead.
I think that people feel guilty putting their dog in the crate, and they don't feel guilty if the dog is roaming free in the house. And I think that it makes them feel better about their lack of quality of fun, play, structure that they offer the dog. So I think if you if you want your dog loose in the house all day, it's because that's what they do most of the time. And if, like for me, if my dogs are crated, when I get them out, I'm their access to freedom, fun, play, exercise, going to do things. And if you don't do those things, if you don't take your dogs on regular walks, or if the only thing you do is take them on a walk, you don't play ball, take them places, go on adventures, let them roam around on a farm, take them to a field. If all you do is walk your dog, then you feel better if they're loose in the house all day and can freely come and go from the couch, and can freely wander around the house and pick up one of 37 toys out of a basket. That there's the modern dog owner in general has replaced doing things with a dog with they just are your roommate.
I think most dogs' toys take up more room than my clothes.
And so if you have a dog and you don't do much fulfillment with that dog, if you have a border collie and you don't take it out and play fetch and frisbee and walks and hikes and new places and new stimulation and offer that dog good fulfillment, you feel better if he can be loose in the house terrorizing things. You know, running amok.
I think most people don't understand that their dog can have all of the things above. They can have freedom in the house if they've trained their dog the way that we try to train dogs, to where you can take your dog out, like you said, and let him run and play in the field or down by the river or whatever, you know.
But you would have to take your dog to do those things.
Yes, you do. But even with those, you know, I think that people, it's like you can do that with your dog on a weekend and have a perfectly happy dog if you walk your dog in the evenings, you know. Even some dogs.
Depending on the dog, yeah.
Right. But some of the dogs, if they needed more energy burnt, you know, more exercise, if you could take your dog to all these places and exercise them on the weekends, then every morning and every evening you could exercise your dog in some way. Sometimes, like River now, I put him on a treadmill in the mornings. And this morning he walked for 25 minutes. We took him out and go potty, you know, and let him run around in the field, which he'll run around in the field a bit now. And he comes in here, and I walked him on leash quite a bit, made him heel, lay down in place, and I put him on treadmill for like 25 minutes at 2.5 miles an hour, which is just a pretty slow walk for him, you know. And then when I got done, I walked him around for a minute or two, and I just had him lay down on the treadmill. He laid there and went to sleep while I trained on other dogs. So I think that sometimes the amount of exercise your dogs need is like you're saying. Do you have a border collie? Do you have a high drive lab that needs to run 100 miles a week? Or do you have a lab that can walk a while and then chill out? You know, there's all different kinds of exercise that different dogs need. But I still think that the main thing they need in their life is structure. And it really hurts a lot of people's feelings when we talk about, like you're talking about, not letting your dog just run 80 miles an hour through the house all day while you're trying to do laundry or watch TV or cook dinner or whatever, you know. That really bothers a lot of people that their dog don't get that freedom in the house. And, there's nothing we can do to change that person unless they come to us and talk to us or follow us on the internet, you know, on social media and see the dogs we train and what kind of life they get to have. But it's still, it's just hard it's hard for people to figure out how much exercise does my dog actually need. And I kind of feel you can't exercise, you shouldn't exercise a dog enough to keep him out of trouble if you haven't trained him to have an off switch. Agree? Your dog needs to be able to relax.
Yeah, what I was going to say is I live in a tiny home now, so my current living situation is not a good example. But I don't think when we lived in a bigger space, I don't think I made my dog's place 8 hours a day. And I don't think they crated 8 hours a day. They kind of got to – some of them weren't allowed down the hallway to the other end of the house. They were only allowed right outside of the kitchen in the back.
But you're already saying they had structure.
I know, but in the back patio area, the living room, they could, like, do whatever they wanted. They were even allowed on the couch. Scout was kicked off for a while because he had just gotten out of rehab. But if they got carried away, place kennel. Yep. If the doorbell rang, kennel. We weren't like, hey, the doorbell rang. Let's let all the dogs be at the door while we're letting the Mexican delivery service give us our burritos. Because they might get ate,
yes.
You know? And I had a dog that bit. So what that meant, though, is what I'm trying to say is that I don't think – I talk to a lot of people on the phone. The majority of people that I'm talking to don't even walk their dog every day.
They don't walk – no, they don't think they need to.
They play in the yard. They play in the house. And that – the thing that would have to change is the people. And there are so many people who I feel like it's worse right now than it's ever been. So many people who got a dog for companionship. And it used to be that you'd get a dog because you wanted to go and be active. And now there's so many people who are getting a dog for the companionship and they're not offering the dog what the dog needs. And so how could you, if you have a dog that's full of energy and can't sit still, how could you put him in the crate when you don't do anything with him? The crate is a good thing for our dogs because we give them so much access to freedom, fun, exercise, play. That's why they like the e-collars.
And
we
they
give
have
them
an
access
option
to freedom, fun, play. But they don't like the e-collars because we taught them an off switch. They like the e-collars because we give them access to fun, freedom, play.
Right, but no, I mean the crate and everything for them is, it goes back to your dogs are, all our dogs have the same thing. They have off switch.
Yeah.
They get exercise. They get structured. They get trained whether we're training them or not.
But it's really hard on the dogs that don't have an off switch to free range the yard and the house all day to go in the crate comfortably. So and it makes humans uncomfortable to lock their dog up when they essentially keep them in a 1,100 square foot crate and a 1,100 square foot pen every day.
It is. And that's for me always what people with their house is they just have a bigger kennel or crate for their dog. And they have 1,000 square feet or 10,000 square feet or whatever. Their dog is still confined to that area. They just get their free range and do what they want all day. And somebody the other day, we just talked about, we talked to, I don't think they realize how much their dog actually, how their dog didn't get to relax because they didn't realize that every time one of them moved, the dog followed them.
You know, that's, you know how you can't stand when dogs jump on people? That's like one thing that just drives bonkers because it's so unnecessary and people cause it. I feel so bad for the dogs when they pace.
Me too.
It like makes my brain hurt. Cause I'm like, they literally don't know how to sit down.
Yes. So we had one here the other day that was that way. Kind of like you. We had one here the other day that the husband and the wife, the husband and wife literally moved like 50 feet apart and they couldn't believe it. Her dog couldn't quit. It just paced back.
Well, no, she said this is what she does.
So they got together and then their dog just paced right there in one spot. But when you stand apart, the dog just paces from one to the other. It's like, hey, I got to get you two together.
And you just wonder what's going on in their neurology. Like, they're like, oh, I got to go check on this. Oh, I got to go check on this. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do this. And it's like, oh, my gosh, that poor dog just wants
to
nap.
It's like Bianca, when I send her out of the round pen sometimes to go get me something.
Sometimes.
She might come back 45 minutes later. And she don't even have what I sent her to get.
Every time.
The dogs are
there's
the same
never
way.
A time when I come back.
The dogs are the same way. They can't keep their mind focused on something. Mike River, he couldn't focus on anything when he got here, really.
Yeah.
And now he literally laid on a treadmill and went to sleep this morning.
Yeah.
And he hadn't even had his breakfast yet, you know, and it's like now he's eating really good.
Yeah.
And he's running around on the playground a little bit, you know, because he has that energy to where before he just walk out there and go back there and sit down and wait, come back and go back to bed. And I think it's really hard for people to understand that if you put structure with your dog and everything starts lining up to where they understand that you got a lot happier dog physically and mentally, you know. And it's hard for us when somebody's like, how do you get your dog to sit? How do you get your dog to come? How do you get your dog to behave? How do you get your dog to quit growling? How do you get your dog to quit biting other dogs? How do you get your dog to quit biting other people? It's like, well, if it was that easy, nobody would have that problem, you know. It takes a lot of focus and a lot of work to fix it, you know, and people want an easy button. And if I could have an easy button, I would just sell that and I'd be in Texas right now where it's warm. And so the snow got a foot deep or so that I'd come home and I'd enjoy the snow if I don't have to be out there building a fence. But everybody wants an easy button on how to fix all of these things, and there's not one out there. So.
Right.
Brett, we got anybody watching us?
Yeah, they're coming in and out. You got a couple people here. Nobody's asking anything. Somebody said facts. You're dropping facts. A good subject that you're talking about right now.
That's
someone who sees the benefit of the crate, has done the work. And
is this?
I don't know. I just know. If they're saying it's facts and it's a good thing, that someone who sees the benefits of the crate has done the work and their dog, it's a safe place for them.
And it's,
who is it?
It's Mundo. Mundo is the username. I don't know.
Oh, it's someone random.
It's just
that's not true. Sometimes the usernames are just usernames that you don't know the people.
Yeah, you don't know who owns a name.
Doesn't really have a picture of them or anything, so it's hard to identify the person.
It's like CB Handles. Me and somebody was talking the other day about CB Handles. That's a name that you use that nobody, a CB radio. You had a name that people didn't know who you were. Like my name in the trucking world was Tagalong. I didn't say Breaker, Breaker 19 is Marvin out there. People knew the name would be like Tagalong out there. Because you had a name and nobody knew who you were. Unless they knew you, you know.
Right.
And I got to handle Tagalong because before I was legally able to drive semis, I drove them all the time. And I usually tried to follow other trucks. And we talked on the radio to make sure I didn't get carried away and get speeding and get pulled over.
But you called them handles?
That's what they're CB handles. If you Google CB handles, it will tell you what their name is.
That's funny.
Yeah. Nicknames or whatever you would probably
That's call what them. You call. No, Google. No, your Instagram name is your handle.
Yeah, it is. So
that's where they got the name from, probably.
Well, from the trucking world. They've tried to outlaw CBs forever.
Why?
Because you could be like, here, like me and you pass coming down the mountain. You could be like, hey, Marvin, there's a cop right down here at Bell Road in Springbrook. What is it?
The CB handle.
Oh.
Well, I believed him. It's just funny that, like, the first time I've heard a nickname being called a handle is your Instagram handle.
Oh.
Well, it says it's your birth month and the first letter of your name.
That's probably just like a joke.
But, like, here you would tell one other that a cop was running down the road. That's why they tried to outlaw the regular CBs. But the fun thing
about they do that now on Waze.
Yeah, the CB now, is the thing is with them is you could tell them there's an accident down there. And you could go around Corey's and go down there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But back in the day.
They could be like, hey, don't take your semi on Mountain Home Road. There's an S-curve that nobody can make it through.
Yeah.
Do you notice that somebody moved our table and didn't put our little shoe on?
No, Marvin, I don't.
You don't see your mic
over
moving?
That stuff.
Ooh. Who did it?
I moved it back here a while back. Somebody had a crick and I straightened up and tried to get Jim back. So back to what? Yes.
If you're ready. Maple's mom here, just here for any extra good tidbits as she's coming home this week and my work begins.
I can't remember if Maple went in a. I think Maple had a X pen, like a pen.
Hey, Bianca.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you something.
Okay.
Here a while back, I asked somebody about a dog, and you, like, lectured me, like, I should read that protocol. No.
What?
So what are you asking? I'm sorry. I interrupted.
Did you hear the question?
Yeah. What was the question? What she can work on going home, how hard it's going to be, and how life's going to be.
I have no idea what just happened.
She's looking for any extra good tidbits, because she's coming home this week, and her training work begins next week, for what she said.
And so what did you say in that comment?
I don't remember. No.
So what is your, what do you recommend tips for her? Do we have them now? Don't we have them? A whole list of things to do when you take your dog out from the train?
Would you just say what you're thinking? Because I'm not on your brain.
No, I know you're not. I'm saying, don't we have it on the internet on when you take your dog home, really work on these things?
What things?
What
you're
she,
losing me, Mark. I have no idea what you're
talking
about.
Are you talking about go-home packet?
Yeah, she's asking us what to work on when she takes her dog home, what she can...
She's just asking for extra advice.
I know, right. But I'm saying, don't we have the information that you can tell her where to find it?
How rude.
What?
What? Are you following Brett?
We have
yes,
a packet.
I'm going to let you two finish this conversation.
Well, no, we
I'm
have
totally
a
lost at what you're trying to say.
I'm tracking both ways. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
We have a packet.
She's asking us on Instagram Live.
Right.
And you're saying we have a packet.
No, I'm
Instagram
not telling her to go look at the packet. I'm asking you what all is on it. So.
Stick with us, Maples.
Yeah, hang in there. We'll get it figured out.
What all is on the board and train go home packet?
Yeah, I'm
that's
asking
a good question.
What are we?
Do you want me to recite the board and train go home packet?
One of the main points of it. She's asking what she should do.
I can grab one. And like,
no, Marvin, I don't have it memorized.
No, Brett, we don't need it. But I mean, I'm okay, let me answer your question.
She said, no worries, just trying to interact. That's all she's saying. Trying to interact.
We get engagement.
This is great practice.
Our engagements
this is really
go
great.
Out the window.
This is really great practice. You know?
For me, I think to answer her question would be make sure, because Maple's just getting to be cool. Am I right?
Yeah.
She places, she heals, she recalls, she goes out with other dogs, she stays on place, she crates really good. I think all the above. And when you take her home, that's the thing that, for me, people sometimes make a mistake and they take their dog home and they give them too much freedom back.
Too soon.
Yes, too soon.
Yeah. And it's not that we don't want the dog to have freedom.
Right.
It's just we want you to be their access to freedom and not give them too much too soon.
So now we're answering your question.
You have to convince them you're serious about it.
Yes. And make sure that you give them I think that sometimes it's like, I notice like with Clay, you know, my grandson, he gets a little bit wound up.
Yeah.
And we'll give him something to do.
Yeah.
Like go out and, I don't know, pick up some sticks or run around the farm with us or go hang out or do something. And your dog's kind of the same way. For me, if your dog, let's say your dog's on place and it's just getting in trouble, I don't think you want to just keep scolding at your dog, but at the same time, you don't want to just go get your dog and go do something with it. You need to get it to settle for a minute or two and then get your dog up and do some heel work or place a fetch or...
And then go back to place.
Yeah. Don't just try to power through it, you know. Yeah. And so with Maple, it's the same thing with her because she's really young. And here she can place, I mean, we place her in trained dogs and stuff, and she just chills out and hangs out, you know. But I think that it's really hard on for you when you take her home if you have that, if you try to get the leadership role.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, without exercising your dog to make sure that she gets to burn a lot of energy. Excuse me, because you have a young dog, and... I don't feel she has an energy level like the Kelpie or the Border Collie or the Australian Shepherd even, you know. She's less energetic, but still they need to burn some energy off. And for me, you want to find stuff, even if you play fetch with her. I think that sometimes people make a mistake. If they get their dog and they want to go out in the backyard and play fetch, they let their dog do backflips and cartwheels from the place they get them in the house to the backyard rather than put the leash on them and try to get the dog to heel to go out in the backyard. Get them to walk through the doors really well and then take them out of the yard and play fetch with them. And then when you come back in, do the same thing. Put your leash back on and make them be good all the way back in the house, back to wherever you're going to wash them off, wipe them off, place them, whatever, till they dry off, you know. But don't let them go in and out just doing backflips and cartwheels. If you do that, a lot of times put her back in a crate and just let her take a nap, you know, or put her back on place. I wouldn't let her come back in the house in free range. Just wander all over the house. I would have some kind of structure to it. And once you get these dogs to where they're cool with you, like Bianca said a while ago, you can do whatever you want. Let them run loose all day. Who cares? All day, all night. I mean, who cares? People do it all the time. People have dogs there to protect them, you know, they live in a bad neighborhood or they got a friend that ain't very good guy, might want to come rob them. They let the dog run loose in the house all day, but they have structure, you know, the dog behaves until the doorbell rings or somebody beats on the window or whatever, or you ask him to go for a walk with you and you call him too, you know, but that's the thing is with, for Maple, is just go home and follow through with what we've taught, you know, and just make sure you, and I'm not saying run your dog for 5 miles and then put them on place, you know, just do something fun with her to get her a little bit of exercise. Here the dogs do really good. If we actually wrote down what we do with a dog in a day, people would really be amazed at how much structure goes with the dog, even the boarded dogs. Because I just told somebody the other day, if we have a boarded dog here that gets too rowdy with the pack, we'll start making that dog maybe stay with us on the way out to the field and on the way back in. And I think you're the, I won't say the worst, but you're the one that does it the most now, You'll have 15 dogs waiting to come through a gate, and you'll call them one at a time.
Yeah, and everyone's like, Bianca's holding on traffic, yeah. But I'm trained.
Yeah, and I used to do that. Oh, I don't know if you remember, but I used to do that bad.
You're like, hey, hurry up. Yeah. I'm like, no, you told me to do this.
But I don't do it as much now because Bianca does it, so I don't need to stand out in the rain and the cold as much. I can move on and let her do it. But anything like that, you know, it's just good for the dog's mind to have to think, you know. And so with Maple, that's hopefully we answered your question about.
And I would say one main thing for Maple is that she's a really nice dog, really dedicated owners. They want to do what's right. Don't struggle much on your own. If you go home from boarding train and something's not, I did an in-home yesterday or Saturday. I think Saturday. I did an in-home for a dog that did board and train, I'm going to say a year ago, but it might have even been longer. And I see them regularly. They work out at my gym. And they tell everyone how great we are. They're really happy with the training. No complaints, really. The dog did board and train in 2022. And I did an in-home lesson this last Saturday.
Cheers.
Yeah. I see them. Every time I see them, they're like, oh, we just, you know, she's really, really good. She's so great. We're so happy. She just gets a little bit ahead of us on the walk. She gets a little bit ahead of us on the walk. She gets a little bit ahead of us on the walks. And I see them all the time. Great people. I'm like, you need to just have me come over. You need to just meet us at a group walk. You need to just do this. You need to just do that. And I'm like over and over, like being a dead horse, telling them they need to set something up. She finally calls and sets something up. But it's because the getting a little bit ahead is now getting a little bit ahead and starting to react to things, right? So I go over there, and it was such a simple lesson. Their dog was in great shape. I placed the dog. She got right on place. She's like, okay, yeah, all right. And I showed them in the house. We walked the dog, and it was like right back to it. And the dog sat and walked and was good. Then I said, you got to go back to a really strict diet on your routine. No free range in the house because she's got to go back to earning that. And they were like, okay, we got these things to work on. And they asked for a wrap-up email. And I told them that I'm not saying this to make you feel any type of way, but I said, imagine if you had me come out 2 weeks after you went home from boarding train.
Yeah.
It kills Marvin and I if you're struggling and you don't ask for help. We don't take your money for boarding train, put hours and days of work into your dog, and not want you to win. About your dog for 3 weeks after they go home. Sometimes we think about them 6 months later.
Or a year
and,
or two.
And it's fine if you're doing great and you're not struggling, but if there's anything that you're having a hard time with, get a hold of us.
Yeah. Those people who are doing great bugs me too.
It's a lifelong thing.
The people who are doing great bugs me too because they don't ever get on social media and be like, hey, look, you're doing great.
That's not true. A lot of people.
Well, a lot of people do. Yeah. A lot don't because they don't need us no more. And I understand that. And I don't call my horse trainers all the time and send them email and be like, man, my horse still doing great, you know.
Where's the last place you bought something?
Restaurant last night.
Okay. No, like not a meal.
I don't know. Probably good.
Have you brought them a review?
No.
Were you happy with their service?
I'm not saying do what I do.
Well, I'm just saying don't pick on people for not writing reviews after they've been.
It's all about Mark.
Jeez.
No, I'm terrible about writing reviews, but I will tell you to go there and buy.
I don't care if people leave and they're happy and they don't write a review. I care if people.
Oh, I don't care if you write a review. I did not say review.
Oh my God.
I just said say hi on social media once in a while. Send us a picture of your dog. Let us know your dog's doing great. You know. I always think that sometimes when people don't ever come back, they're like, are they happy or are they not? You know. 99% of the time, I think our customers are happy. Once in a while, we'll hear 6 months later somebody didn't like our program because they didn't want to follow through with it, you know, but that's not really our fault. So, Brett, you got anything?
Maple's mom says, yes, thank you. All good info, and I appreciate all the support.
Awesome. Thanks.
You did it.
And all the lecture I got before.
Yeah. Episode of Jerry Springer in here sometimes.
Oh.
So, Bianca?
Yeah.
I think we covered the crate thing pretty good.
Yeah.
The muzzle, we covered. I think we could have done more with the muzzle. Like,
probably the crate and the muzzle, but.
Yeah, but I think it all, people kind of gets an idea of what we're talking about and how much safer it makes life, especially driving your car, you know, putting your dog in a crate and have the crate secured enough that it don't roll around in your vehicle. You know, I remember here a while back, I had one that slipped in my car because somebody arrived. Let a back seat down, and I forgot about it, and the crate was in there. So I had one of my dogs in there making the crate lean over. Yeah, leaned over.
She should have been laying down.
Yeah, she should have been laying down. It was leaned over. She didn't go nuts, you know. She was like, oh, crap, this was fun. She just thought Bianca was driving or something. That's the way it was out through the ditch. But we've covered CB handles now. We know what they are. the crate and your dogs, how important it is. And it is super important. And muzzle your dogs too. Any dog, you know. Don't we still muzzle Pablo when we do his nails? Mm-hmm. We put a little duck bill thing on him.
Maybe I've done it a few times.
Yeah, and would he mind you or would he not? No, I don't know.
It depends on what my mood is on there if I put the muzzle on.
Yeah, what side of the bed.
I'm not sure.
What side of the bed he woke up that day, you know?
Yeah.
Me, I try to make sure that whoever's helping me do toenails. I only help do toenails with dogs that kind of need help, you know, until they get used to it. So
toenails is our highest bite risk around here.
Yes.
And not so, the killer dogs we get, it's toenails.
Yeah. And so for me, I always put the little duck bill on Pablo and we get along fine. He don't fight it.
No.
He almost go get it off the rack, put it on himself anymore if he sees me coming to do toenails. So.
That's talent.
Yeah, he is talented. He's a very talented dog. Just don't touch Pablo when he's in his car. Yeah, just stay away from there. You can lead him up. He'll jump in. Don't get your leash off. Have his mom, too. And he will eat you. He won't threaten you. He will have you for a snack. He'll have fingers for lunch. So, what about the weather, Bianca? It's pretty nice out.
We don't have to go a full hour. I think we.
I know. I think we're pretty good.
Yeah.
I think we kept on track pretty well. So, Brett, do we have anything on there?
Amy Rice said, "I love your program. If I lived in Oregon again, I would take my other dog for a boarding train. You made my life easier."
Aww.
Where does Amy Rice live now?
Good question.
Amy, where do you live now?
Good question.
Probably Idaho or Texas or Arizona.
Good guess.
Huh?
Good guess.
I'm assuming Texas, but that's where a lot of people are going to. Down around Stephenville or something like that. South of Dallas or west of Dallas. So, Bianca, you got anything you want to add?
No.
All right, Brett. We can mail off here, man.
Okay.
Hey, thank y'all for joining us. Enjoy the weather. Snow's gone. It's already quit snowing, so it'll be back to rain. All right, have a good day.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast. If you found this information helpful, we suggest following even more of our dog training tips and resources on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher.